switch down to chat room. Okay, cool. Yeah, guys, this isn't a practical class. It's just kind of an explanation of a ship class and how they're used, how you can use them, how you can have fun with them, essentially. I guess it's the whole goal is to enjoy the ships, have fun, goof around, blow stuff up, and get blown up. The ship class I'm covering today is the electronic attack ships. They're kind of a smaller, uniquer class. They're less flown than a lot of other classes in EVE. You see the covert ops, the interceptors, the assault frigates all flown more. And that's kind of because when they gave the bonuses out to the electronic attack frigates, they decided to give them somewhere between a normal ship or the T1 variant and somewhere between the recons. Whereas the recons have these, if you were at my class, the recons have these like 20% bonuses to disruptor range or 40% bonuses to this range. The electronic attack frigates get usually half of that. The only exception is the Sentinel, but considering it can't put a medium nuke on, it's still a ridiculously short range. So there are all these, semi-short range ships that could be very useful if applied correctly. And I personally have found small little uses for them, especially in your frigate fleet. Now, recently they've been a little bit more outclassed by things. Let's say the Dreadnought, for instance, has outclassed interceptors and pretty much all frigates but stealth bombers, because stealth bombers do such a unique, different role. But the Dreadnought kind of outclasses them simply because these bonuses, you don't need them anymore when, well, you don't need them anymore, when a ship just totally outclasses things. But on that note, we'll just go over the four of them and kind of explain them. And it's pretty basic. The four of them are the Karis, the Sentinel, the Hyena, and the Kitsune. They're easy to train for, and the great thing about them is if you train for them, you are essentially the stealth bomber and covert ops at the same time. The skills are nearly the same, if not the same, and they match up really nicely with each other. And so training for two of them means you get three ships in one, as opposed to just the interceptors or just the assault frigates. But you get a stealth bomber, an electronic attack ship, and you get a covert ops cloaky. And so all three of those are great. The first one I'm going to go over is the Karis. It's the Galente one, and it's very nifty in that it gets a bonus to warp disruptor range. 10% per level to the range of warp disruptors. It's more than interceptors, which is a great thing about it. And it's got a high lock time, or and a very high lock speed. The benefit of this is with a Karis, a lot of people use them to kill stealth bombers. Stealth bombers will usually do a bombing run, and they'll drop a bomb about 30 to 35 kilometers away from your fleet. And most ships can't lock it, or recons are too slow to lock it. So the Karis has this great ability. If you put like a sensor booster or two, you can overload your warp disruptor and hit it about 40 kilometers with a T2 warp disruptor, which means you can nab almost any stealth bomber. In fact, we used to get a bomb. We had a bombing run on one of the stations we were. It was like our system we were operating in, and we caught two of the three stealth bombers simply because we had one Karis with two warp disruptors. But so on that bonus to warp disruptors, it kind of gives this ability to do gate camps and such very well with fast vessels. Because the problem with interceptors or so is that sometimes they're orbiting, they're doing other things, and they don't have the ability to just reach out and grab almost anyone. Whereas your Karis can reach out, grab a Vagabond, and stay at range with them, or at least attempt to. So long as he doesn't primary you, you're good to go for a short while. Another bonus that the Karis gets, along with its warp disruptor bonus, a range bonus, is bonus to the cap needed by warp disruptors, which gives it a lot better cap stability. It's very tough on the smaller frigates, and so with their slow recharge rates on capacitor, to keep their cap running for long. And that bonus to cap needs really, really benefits, especially if you put something like a faction or meta-level warp disruptor, which has a reduction in cap needs as well. Put a sensor booster on a Scanret, on a Karis, it gets up there, especially with high-level skills. Another bonus on this Karis is its bonus to remote sensor damps. Their ability to shorten the lock range of other ships. It's very difficult to get to use that effectively with the Karos simply because it's really good against ships that are slower than you. So when you throw down the sensor damp and their lock range to get something slower, you can get out of their range and you can sit there and shoot them or whatever it is you do. Well, the problem with the Karos is it's small. It doesn't get massive range bonuses or massive ranges on its guns, or it's got one drone. So you're kind of looking at this ship that you really can't throw out the ability, this damage at this long range. You can, I guess, protect your other ship, so it'd be good with stealth bombers. But then at the same time, with a Kerosene, the fleets it normally operates in usually don't have, usually aren't fighting larger ships, in my experience. Usually I see the Kerosene taking on things like maybe stealth bombers, or, you run around in a frigate fleet. And that sensor dampener bonus really just doesn't come into effect like you would want it to. Other things like tracking disruptors and ECM play a much more vital role, whereas its sensor damps, not so much. You can use them in conjunction with ECM to hit their scan res really heavily, so that it takes them longer to lock you. So that if an ECM does fail, it can benefit you there. But still, at the same time, it's just, you throw enough ECM on someone, they'll never lock anyone. And so it's just one of those ships that the real main bonus that people ever use it for is that bonus to disruptor range. Okay. So of the Karos, it's kind of got this unique role, but this inability to truly fill it, which is a problem of a lot of the electronic attack ships. You kind of deal with this thing that you've got these useful parts to it, but not so useful ability to use those parts. They also suffer, and the Karos itself suffers from lack of slots, something the recons don't necessarily suffer from, and that lack of slots can kind of hurt them on some occasions. So with these things, you really kind of have this really choosy fittings that you end up getting to, and they're very, very, very different, very picky depending on what you want it to do. For example, a triple sensor boosted Karos, with a scrammer on a gate's useful, but it's really only useful in so many situations. And then a triple sensor dampening Karos is useful, but only in so many situations, I find. So after the Karos, I'm going to go ahead and move down to the next one. We'll hit the Sentinel. The Sentinel is a electronic attack ship that I personally kind of like, although it still kind of suffers from the same issues of all electronic attack ships. It's just too small to do too much. It gets a bonus to neuts. I'm a big fan of neutralizers personally, so that's why I like it. But it gets a bonus to neutralizers, neutralizer range, and cap taken, which is pretty nifty considering when you have small neutralizers, you can drain an interceptor in 2, 3 cycles to nothing, assuming he isn't running anything, which is really quick, and you could do that at about 20 kilometers with faction and so neutralizers. But it still has this kind of, it has a very low DPS. It's only got 4 drones. That's very much what you're relying on to kill people. And it's fragile. So the Sentinel is a very tough one to use, although it's probably one of the most unique of them in the fact that nothing can really replace it. An Interceptor can almost replace a Karos or a super fast ship. But with the Sentinel, it's tough to replace simply because you can't replace the nukes. Although how useful it is kind of up to you. Next to its bonus to neutralizers, it gets a bonus to tracking disruptors, which is very nice hand in hand with the nukes, especially if you can get them out to 20 or so kilometers, is you can shut down frigates and some cruisers. You can shut down their range to below 5 kilometers with that. For example, a Harbinger with Scorch ammo is going to hit it, 25 kilometers or so, and you can shut that down with 2 tracking disruptors down to about 5 kilometers, 5 to 7. So if you're sitting out at that magical 15, 20 kilometers with a disruptor, you're nearly impossible to hit, and you're just chewing through them. Your biggest threat, of course, there is the drones, and your extreme fragileness. But it's kind of a nifty little ship, especially in a frigate fleet, just to add to the numbers. So it's got this after bonuses to the tracking disruptor and the neutralizers. It also gets a bonus to capacitor recharge, which is something that really, really helps its cap stability out because it is a very, very tight fit. And they almost all these electronic ship attack ships are tight on cap, unless you have some pretty solid skills. Okay. I guess after that, I kind of jumped through these. Are there any questions about the Sentinel? It feels I'm absolutely blitzing through this. Depends. Very much depends on the fit. If you want to run three newts, pretty much it's, I think, a little bit more of a solo-ish fit against small vessels. He's asking, what is my opinion on cap injection with the Sentinel, or cap boosters, essentially, versus relying on a recharge rate to keep you alive. My skills allow it, the fit I personally have, to run about a minute 40, should I want to, or high-level skills can get you there. In that note, I would say I wouldn't put cap injection. I very rarely have ever had a minute 40, 2 minute lasting caps ship and ever run out. I usually die or kill someone before then. It's that simple, or you can easily make sacrifices. Once you get somebody down to zero energy or zero cap, you can turn off a neutralizer or two because one neut will keep them dead. But I have seen it where people put triple neuts on the highs. They put the cap injector, micro warp drive, disruptor, and a tracking disruptor, a single lone tracking disruptor. And that would probably require the cap injector. I personally wouldn't be against it. It's got a lot of cargo hold, and if you don't put guns on it, it's no use. So you might as well throw something in there. But just as a personal thing, with higher skills, I don't feel the need for it. I feel you'll die before it comes of any use, and you might as well attempt to put another tracking disruptor instead. Okay. Then going on that, another benefit of the Sentinel that I kind of didn't cover is the Sentinel has a very, very large drone bay, and it has a very solid drone bandwidth. It can use four lights, and it can carry 12 lights, should you want to. Or you can put two medium ECMs on there, which is not a bad thing, especially if you need to get out, run away. So the Sentinel really does rely heavily on its drones for its DPS, and allows you to put all three highs towards neutralizers, which is essentially all three highs towards shutting someone down. It's got a very good benefit there in that once somebody's shut down, they're not hurting you. No matter how long it takes you to kill them, they'll die so long as somebody else doesn't support them. The negative there is if you kill someone slow enough, eventually support's going to come. But I guess that's most everything on the Sentinel for now. I'll get to fittings later. But we'll move on to the Hyena. The Hyena, personally, I find is the most useful in a frigate fleet, or the most useful to a fleet, simply because it's got the bonus to webfire range, and it's also fast as, I believe it's the fastest of them, and it's the niftiest little one. It gets bonuses to signature radius, gets bonus to the webfire range as well. And the meaning of that is that webfires, when they can hit out at 20 kilometers, when somebody jumps through a gate, or really jumps through a gate is the most useful in a gate camp situation, you can throw this thing down and web someone before they get to the gate. And with a couple sensor boosters, or even without, you can lock them faster than most other ships are locking them. And so a gate crashing ship gets hit by your webs far earlier than, had somebody else been a fleet or another ship. And you can also hit them as soon as they decloak, which is a tough part of some fits, in that somebody can get up to speed before you can web them. But, webifiers, essentially, just as an explanation, webifiers shorten down someone's speed by about 50-60%, and having webs that hit at 20 kilometers, which is the bonus it gets, is to the webfire range by 10% per level, or I'm sorry, 20% per level. It really, really does benefit in that a small ship can now web someone and stay out of their ranges. Problem is, with a lot of other small ships, to web someone, you have to get within web range. And small ships rely heavily on their speed and low signature radius to survive. when you get shut down on your speed, their fleet starts to hit you a lot harder. Feels though I'm doing a bad class today. Just jumpy. The Hyena has four mid slots, which are kind of nifty, allowing you to do double webs. And that allows you to really shut down ships a lot better. It's kind of like a, essentially, it's like a rapier without the covert ops cloak and a lot more speed to it. Other bonuses it gets that make it kind of useful is it gets a bonus to the micro warp drive capacitor bonus. And that's not necessarily a bonus. It's more of a negative. Most micro warp drives cut off depending anywhere between 25 and 20% on your capacitor. And what that does is it takes that and removes 5% per level. So if you have the micro warp drive that does a reduction in 20%, you actually add 5% to your capacitor at level 5, which, considering you have to have level 5 for the ship, you'll have level 5 on it. You'll get a 5% reduction or 0% reduction on the Tech 1 micro warp drive. It gets a bonus to target painters, and you really don't see people use target painters on them, simply because you're usually flying Hyenas and frigate fleets, and if a frigate fleet isn't hitting something double-webbed or doing max damage or near max damage against something double-webbed, you're doing something wrong. You've got the wrong frigates in your fleet. But it really just, the webbers, dual webbers will do far more than a single target painter will do. It takes an extra slot for the target painter to arguably become effective. But usually you want to fit an extra tackle in there just to keep it running. So you never ever really have the chance to fit target painters. With the speed of the Hyena, I'd go with a, in fact, I'll get to fittings later, but with my fitting, I definitely went with the double web. Reason why is, if you're in a small frigate fleet, I figure the Hyena's definitely not going to get primaried. Almost anything else, you're likely to be flying with Dramils. People really want to kill those, or 100 mil a pop. You're likely to be, you're possibly flying with a Griffin or Kitsune, which most definitely going to be primaried ahead of you. It's just, you're not number one. And then the fact that you're going to be orbiting at roughly 15 kilometers out of their ranges, 15 to 17, something like that, out of their Weber and Scram range, you're likely to not get slowed down. So the best they can do is hit you with drones. But really, I feel the Hyena's used more rarely, less likely to be primaried. People are more likely to primary things that are comfortable with primarying. So Hyena may not be the most number one choice to kill. So therefore, I wouldn't fit the medium shield extender. And I wouldn't do the second propulsion simply because your goal is to stay out of their propulsion ranges. You're the fastest of the electronic attack ships. You get a decent speed. You've got a long range on your Weber. In fact, you should be hitting them 10 kilometers or 8 kilometers before they even can scram you. And if you're going fast enough, that range may cut down quickly, but as soon as you hit them with the webs, that range will no longer go away. So it's very, very tough to play with, but if you can do it right, I don't think you would ever need the second propulsion. It was like the old Tyrannus fits, whether to fit an afterburner or a micro warp and a micro warp drive, or fit a micro warp drive in a scram web. Personally preferred the scram web just because it was more fun to just run in like a crazy madman, attempt to catch someone. But now that that question's over, and we've kind of gone over it, we might as well go on the last bonus of the Hyena, which is probably its most useful and ridiculously good bonus, is its bonus to signature reduction and signature radius per level. That may not seem like much of a bonus to anyone at offhand. You know, signature radius doesn't seem like too much. But in a frigate, you're usually tanking with nano, which means you're attempting to go fast enough and be small enough they don't do damage to you or they can't hit you. That reduction in signature radius means missiles do that much less damage to you. Signature radius is a big part of how missiles hit you, and doing that reduction really, really benefits it, especially when you turn on a micro warp drive and you've got that reduced by 15%, your overall signature radius. It reduces your micro warp drive by 15% of the entire 500, 600% bonus to your signature radius. So it really does cut off almost 100% when you start adding that to the equation, almost that extra 100% off. And so it really does reduce the signature radius by quite a bit. And that's probably one of the niftiest little things, and that's probably one of the reasons why I wouldn't fit the medium shield extender, which boosts your signature radius so much. So after the Hyena, we will move on to the final one, the Kitsune. The one everybody can fly, but not so useful. The Kitsune is essentially your little ECM boat. It's everything you think it is. It's mid slots are usually full of ECM. It ECMs people. It gets bonuses to ECM range, cap, and many other things to deal with ECM. Let's real quick go through this. It gets bonus to jammer strength, jammer capacitor need. It's bonus to jammer optimal range, and it gets a bonus to its capacitor capacity, essentially allowing it to jam longer. With Kitsune, it's probably my least favorite. It's probably the most useful, it and the Hyena, the most two more useful to fleets. But its big problem is people jam or kill ECM primaried. So your problem there is you're looking at this little ship that's useful at the ECM, but it costs 30, 40 million-esque to buy and fit, which means you're going to lose it every single time you go out, essentially. It's very tough to keep Kitsunes alive. All they have to do is throw five Warrior Twos and one person hold a disruptor on you and you're dead. And one volley will essentially insta-pop Kitsunes. They're tough to tank. They don't really get epic tanks. And, well, almost anything that any fleet that really starts volleying is going to start annihilating your little Kitsune. And they do have the good benefit of their range, but with a small frigate fleet, you rarely say, hey, Kitsune, you warp in after at 40 onto the guy or something. I don't find it coming out as useful. It's much nicer to just have a covert ops recon or just use a Griffin simply because of the cost effectiveness. I'll pull up the Griffin just to kind of explain that a little bit better, why I would choose the Griffin over it. Because it definitely doesn't get a benefit. With the Blackbird versus Falcon argument, you can always say the Falcon gets a covert ops cloak, which adds to its survivability. But with this, with the Griffin versus the Kitsune, you're talking about a 15% jammer strength versus a 20% jammer strength, which is a 5% bonus, but doesn't you don't find that that plays a massive role in how well you jam, or at least I don't. It does play a part, but is it worth the extra 20-something million, 30-something million-esque? It does lose the range, but yet again, I said, you really don't get that big benefit of range with the Kitsune very often. You don't get to take advantage of that. And then it also gets the same reduction in capacitor need. So although it's less cap stable, and it's the mid slots are way tighter because it's only got four versus the Kitsune's five, I believe, which means you can't put one of each racial if you wanted to without sacrificing a micro warp drive. But it still has this ability versus cost effectiveness, and you just find that the cost effectiveness of a Griffin versus the cost effectiveness of a Kitsune, the Griffin tends to be more in the ballpark of what you're aiming for. Kitsune is a very good jammer. It does its job very well. Just they tend to get popped very quickly because everybody primaries ECM, and it's cheap or it's small. It hurts your wallet, and it dies very quickly. You can, but you've got to remember, without cloaking bonuses, you have at minimum I believe a 5 second decloaking delay. So you've got 5 seconds you can lock. Of course, the Falcon has this as well, but you also get huge negatives to your scan resolution and your well, your scan resolution essentially with a cloaking device, and that really, really hurts you. Also, the reason why the covert ops cloak is so useful on a Falcon versus a Blackbird, considering the Kitsune versus a regular Griffin, it's because, well, you can just put a regular cloak on a Griffin and improve its survivability. I wouldn't just because it's putting a 10 mil thing on a cheap ship. But you're looking at, you can't warp cloaked. That's the biggest benefit of a covert ops cloak, is that you can cloak and warp away and warp in from another direction and start jamming again. Whereas a Kitsune would have to cloak and just pray to God that nobody bumps him. And also, by the time you would want to cloak, you're warping away and you're warping back in, but you're not warping back in cloaked like a Falcon would. For example, the reason why you wouldn't warp away cloaked is they've got drones on you. They've locked you. They're shooting you, something like that, so you can't cloak. So you have to warp out, and the Falcon just warps in, and you don't know where it warped into. Whereas a Kitsune, you immediately know where it just warped into, and you primary it again. Yeah, it is kind of a sad thing. It did also suffer a little heavily from the Falcon nerf. When they nerfed Falcons, they were nerfing ranges and other things like that, and effectively all this blah blah blah. And sadly, the Kitsune, which wasn't an overpowered ship, got dragged into it because they nerfed the ECM modules themselves, and its bonuses didn't really make up for that so much. But now that we're through that, I'm going to go through a couple fits that I've made. You can argue negatives and benefits of these. Personally, I'm not ridiculously happy with all the fits I have. There are a couple minor things I'd like to tweak and play with a lot more. Sadly, I didn't spend a lot of time working on them beforehand. So some of them are good, and they'll fit their job, do their duty, and do what you want them to do, but they're nothing exceptional, which I guess is partly because they're electronic attack ships. It's tough to get them to be exceptional, but it's partly because, you could play with it and tweak it a little bit more. But we'll go with the first one first. Started off with the Karis. Let me pull up my fit. Okay, this fit is very, very tight. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you probably couldn't fit it without some very, very solid skills. You can probably get away with going up to Tech 2 warp disruptors with extremely high skills, or at least one Tech 2, or, I'm sorry, sensor disruptors, especially with higher skills. But essentially, this is my fit. I started off with first, I put a micro warp drive. In a frigate fleet, you're tending to go really fast, and going slow is not beneficial. It slows down the fleet entirely, especially when you're running in trying to get tackle on people and chase things down. When everybody blitzing out to kill it, you don't want one person in an afterburner going 1,000 meters per second while everybody else is going 3 to 4. And then I fit the warp disruptor. With this setup, I have the dual sensor damps, but you could easily swap them out for sensor boosters or other things to really help out your ship. You can put a scrambler on there, two sensor boosters. Seen that used for to stop gate crashes. But the sensor damps are on this one simply because this is a fit where the idea was fitting within a frigate fleet and to keep your frigates alive. Quite a few of the frigates out there will try to hover at around 20 kilometers or 18 kilometers and shooting you low DPS, but they don't die. And so the idea here would be to shut down your target below that 20-kilometer range, or if you had a Kitsune or a Griffin in your fleet, you would be attempting to slow down their lock time after you've jammed them. So you might go with scan resolutions. So as you can see, I fit a micro warp drive, warp disruptor, sensor booster. Those were actually the first three I put on because to me the Kitsune is a long-range tackler. I use it primarily for tackling stealth bombers when they drop bombs. So that's why one of the main reasons why I would swap out the sensor boosters to add just that much more scan res. And then I went with the sensor damps, of course, for the range nullification or the lock time nullification. After that, I then went for a tank. The guns, the DPS in this thing is pretty pathetic, and so I don't worry about it. Your main goal is electronic warfare support. Your main goal is not to be the DPS boat. Gone through every idea of ever making this a DPS boat, and none of them work. I don't think I can barely get it above 80 if I try really, really hard. But so I went down to the tank. I put the largest plate I could. My mid slots are, of course, filled up with E-Warren crap. And a lot of people would put a shield extender or something in the mid slots. This was developed for a pilot, me, who has more armor skills than shield skills. And frankly, I didn't see the harm in the reduction in speed too much. It's a smaller reduction, and it wasn't too big of a hit, especially if you're working in a fleet of lots of other people. And your main goal is not to pick on a fleet of equal size, but to kind of pick on targets of opportunity, especially in enemy space. It's kind of the goal. Fast, move through, kill things, get out. So I've got the plate, threw on an energized plating, threw on the damage control. You could swap the energized plating for an adaptive nano plating, swap the energized, and so it doesn't take any CPU, and you can easily move up your sensor dampeners. Sensor dampeners, the Meta 4-1 costs a lot of money, which is why you would want to do that. It costs 3 to 4 mil off per dampener. That's the big benefit there. And then my rigs are there simply to make the thing fit. I wanted larger guns than the duals, and that's why I put the ACRs on there to fit that, simply because with spike ammo I can get some decent range. And then drones, Hobgoblin or Warriors. You may throw in an ECM drone, but it's just chances of hitting are kind of low, so I stuck with the Hobgoblins and Warriors, of course. You could put 2 Warriors, 2 Hobgoblins, depending on how you're going to operate. Warriors, of course, are better against nano, and Hobgoblins better against things with decent tanks. Although, in the fleet you're operating in, you're really not throwing in too much, so you really don't have much to worry about. So after the Karis, we'll move on to our next lovely ship. Let me import. Okay, now with this setup, I've got Amitar Navy stuff. You'd have to go with Meta 4 or faction things. I like faction because of the big range bonus they give you. So don't feel daunted about the faction. You can easily go with Meta 4 or 3, but the big range bonus was really what I was aiming for. Also, I do want to say I fit micro warp drives on this. A lot of fits I've seen and fits that people like use afterburners. Simply got the micro warp drive for getting in range quicker. Nothing else. You can easily swap it out for an afterburner and a different tank of some sort. Essentially on this one, you can see I put 2 energy neutralizers and 1 NOX. That's to help with cap stability. You could easily swap it out for 3 neutralizers. We were talking earlier about putting a cap injector, a cap booster, what they're known as, a smaller micro to keep you running. But really, you want to stick, I personally prefer sticking to the NOS, letting that run. It really depends on the person, depends on your comfortability with low cap with a boost or a cap reliant on a booster, or comfortability with cap reliant on gills. So after your highs, and that was the first thing I went for, by the way, the neutralizers and NOS. If you're going to decide you fit 3 newts or you decide you fit 2 newts and a NOS first, reason why is that's where this ship really comes out, is with its energy newt and tracking disruptor. So, and the tracking disruptor isn't going to hinder you very much. It's going to be the same either way. So after I fit those newts and NOSes, I went down to the tracking disruptor and fit it. I went with 2, personally, because you can shut down. As I said, a Harbinger that with scorch that hits at 25 is going to be hitting at 5 to 7, which means almost all of your frigates are out of its DPS range minus drones. So it's relying on its drones to kill you, which means everybody can more easily warp out. Drones don't alpha people. They just kill them over time. And after that, I put on a micro warp drive and then my warp disruptor. I put a warp disruptor as backup tackle. If your main tackle dies, he can take over. Having lots of tackle in frigate fleets is decently useful, especially because there's always a chance somebody insta-pops or gets exploded, something like that. And then I went down with the tank. Tank is pretty much the exact same as the Karis. It's a solid tank down there. It holds there to keep you alive, and after the battle, you can come back and rep. I put an ACR on it because I was having problems with power grid on the fit. And then I put a semiconductor memory cell. It increases your overall cap amount. There's 3 different rigs you could put on in its stead there. Let me pull them all up so I say the name's 100% correct. Okay, there's the semiconductor memory cell, which the semiconductor memory cell increases your overall capacitor by 15%. There's also the egress port maximizer that you can also put on the Sentinel for cap stability. This is, of course, with this fit with a cap booster, you probably wouldn't need this. You'd probably put some form of tank on as backup. But so you've got the semiconductor memory cell for cap. You've got the egress port maximizer, which reduces the amount of cap needed by your neutralizers. The semiconductor, of course, increases all cap. And then you can, of course, put a capacitor control circuit, a CCC, which increases your cap recharge rate. All of these help with how you stay cap stable. Sorry, I was reading the question and thing. They can all help push you towards a cap stable. None of them will make you cap stable unless you turn off like a neutralizer or maybe your micro warp drive. Once you have someone neutered down, you can of course do that. You can make those cuts. But it's kind of nice that you can choose to nuke someone, and then once you have them down, you can start repulling your cap. I put the semiconductor memory cell as well because it's got more capacitor. The only other one that I would have thought about was the egress. I believe they have no penalty. Yeah, none of them have a penalty, and they can all three be bitted. Your energy, what are they actually called? They're like the energy rigs or the engineering rigs, but they don't have any negatives to your ship. Yeah, the Ammitar newts, the Amar newts, there's three different, I believe. I think the other one might be Sansha. The reason why I put them in there, as I said, you can easily go with the cheaper ones and you can stay away from them. They are expensive, except if you're a mission runner. That was the one place where I saw it might be somewhat useful, is just a mission runner picking up those things. If you do that for ISKI, it's not a ridiculous cost to you, and it's kind of a nifty thing to put up a sentinel with 22-kilometer neutralizer range and shut people down like that. Makes you feel a little cool, and it really does depend if ISK is an issue or not. But and then the last thing I went to is the drone bay. Sentinel, as I mentioned earlier, has a massive drone bay. It's got 60 in cubed, and it can use 20 in, or megabit per second drone bandwidth, which really means it can hold 12 small drones and use four at a time, which means it's not relying on its own DPS. It's very much relying on drone damage, which means you need drone skills for it. It also has the ability to throw out medium ECM drones, which is really good because you can ECM someone to get away. And medium ECM drones can possibly work on battleships decently effective. They will work on cruisers, and they most definitely will work on frigates. It's just a nice little backup, get out in emergency situation. And then you can also fit a full flight of warriors, means you can fit deal with nano people more effectively. And then you can fit up a full flight of anything else you want. You can have a backup flight of warriors. You can fit neutralizer drones, which nobody will ever expect, and it'll also nuke someone down real quickly. The benefit of that would be to nuke them and then swap out for DPS drones. The quicker you nuke them, the quicker you shut them down. Especially in PvP, it's when you can shut them down, it's less damage you're taking over longer periods of time. And then let me get to my Kitsune fit. And I think that'll be it, and we can just open this up for more questions. Of course, these are ships that can do many, many different things, and they work very differently. My fits are, by all means, not the end-all perfect of the fits. They're just kind of the fit that I found work. And one second while I get this fit. One sec, I gotta find it. May not have saved this one, let me see. One sec. Okay, got it. I'm going to warn y'all with this fit, it's going to look a little odd at first, and I'll let y'all figure out exactly why. Oh, shoot, I've skipped the hyena, but I'll import the Kitsune, and then we'll go to the hyena after this. Okay, this is my Kitsune, and if you can guess what's wrong with it, you're a pretty cool dude. But anyways, with this fit, number one on my priorities, which is number one priority on almost every ECM person's day, was to get ECM. So some people go with multispectrals. I personally am not a fan. They use more capacitor and they have less range. So I went with one of each type. I'm personally a racial person. I prefer the racial types of ECM. I think the more effectiveness always plays out, always more useful. I've just found it to be. It's kind of picky. Yep. And which could be swapped with a rig. You could easily increase it with rigs, which is what I would do with a Kitsune. I've got increased ECM. As I said, you can easily do that with a rig. As I mentioned earlier, I don't usually find Kitsunes coming in at long ranges. I rarely see that occurring. simply because of the speed at which a frigate engagement occurs, or a speed at which frigates move. Yeah, I guess they do feel right. But and I find Kitsune really doesn't get its ability to get out to range or hold at range. Frigates move quickly. Frigate fleets do not ever stand still. They do not go, oh, let's camp this gate for 20 minutes while we wait for a bigger, better fleet to come through with logistics or something. They usually go run through areas. They have scouts way ahead of time, pick up things, get their targets way before they get there, and they get there and they hit there really hard, really quick. And then when somebody tries to camp them in, they just get out because they're faster, cooler, and niftier than bigger ships. So essentially, this whole warp two at range just doesn't work as well for the Kitsune, I find personally. So one of my reasons for not really attempting to increase the locker rate. Of course, you can still go out to about 30, 40 kilometers, which means your only threat is drones, which when drones are coming after you, you have the ability to warp out. And you can jam people pretty effectively and pretty quickly. You do have a decent scan res. You know, it's low, but it still locks a lot faster than any cruiser or battleship can lock you. And basically what I've done here is just one of each racial, and I boosted their strength as much as I could, and I went after that. It was really what I was going for, was just a jamming vessel and getting out. Damage control simply to add life. The signal distortion amplifier is ECM strength. Small particle dispersion augmentator is to ECM strength. It's literally just to make it a stronger, better ECM boat. And then, if nobody's figured it out yet, there is no high slots for this fit currently. Really, the reason why that is because the multiple things you can put up there gives you better cap. But as I said, frigate fleets tend to go really quickly. They don't last well in long battles because people end up popping them. The longer drones are sitting on someone, the faster he dies. So you really don't have that massive cap problem. Sure, it only lasts a minute or so, but that minute or so should be the amount of time it takes for someone to die. And you don't need to run your micro warp drive permanently because you're hopefully getting out to that 30, 40 kilometer range and ECMing someone, and then you turn off your micro warp drive, which helps a lot with your cap stability. And so I don't find the need to increase cap and a little bit of shield, because it's all it's doing is a teeny bit, as opposed to the 60% resist all around. You're essentially doubling your hull hit points, which on this ship, let's just look at it, you're getting 250 more EHP right there, right off the bat. And that's 50% resist when the damage control does 60. Then you're increasing your armor, you're increasing your shield. Everything is increased by the damage control unit, whereas just a little bit of shield, you know, I think DCUs or PDUs just don't give enough for me to be happy about it, which is why I stick with the damage control. But back to the high slots. I don't have high slots because the multiple things you can fit. It's very, very tight on the fitting, so you've got your power grid problems, which means missiles are tough, and for some reason they want you to think rockets are worth it when you don't want to get anywhere near rocket range, and rockets kind of stink anyways. So you have a tough job fitting your high slots, and one of the really good high slots that is useful on them, but very debatable by people, is the smart bomb. People will put smart bombs on Falcons and Kitsunes to kill drones. People argue it's not worth it. Drones orbit outside. People argue drones orbit inside. It eats up your cap too fast, blah, blah, blah. So with that, there were so many different options, and I'm not normally a Kitsune pilot, and frankly, I normally encourage my people to use Griffins over Kitsunes. So really, I wasn't. Rocket launchers with defenders would be easily doable. That's very much an option there, although still, I'm not sure of the usefulness of it. It kind of getting to the point where, is it really, really all that useful? Well, the reason why I would never argue Kitsune versus Blackbird. I would just always go with Blackbird if that's your case. I don't mind a cruiser in your fleet. The reason why I go Kitsune versus Griffin is frigate fleets. you don't necessarily want cruisers. In fact, you don't want cruisers in your frigate fleets. Frigate fleets survive on speed, hitting quick, getting out quick, being really tough to track down because as soon as they have a fleet together, you're 10 jumps ahead because you go so freaking fast. You move quickly, you align quickly, you move quickly. And that's why I don't really argue Kitsune versus Blackbird. I really argue Blackbird versus Falcon, although Falcon does have useful advantages. The Griffin, you can easily put on ECM and tag team with another ECM pilot to use matching ECMs to counter your open slot, or you can go without a micro warp drive because frankly you're gonna die. You might as well do the ECM and you can. Or you can go multispectrals with the Griffin and be useful. But essentially there, back to the high slots, is you can put a plethora of things. You can even put a hull and armor repairs for after an engagement if people get hit really hard. You can wrap them back up. It's really up to you what you fit on there. And the highs are so open and they matter so little. Whether you deal any DPS or not, nobody cares with a Kitsune or with an ECM ship. All they care is that you're jamming people. The ability to jam four separate people with a Kitsune is what makes it worth it. It's not its ability to do 20-80 DPS. But after that, I've got my Hyena fit. Unless there's any more questions about this, I know this is probably the most flown one, so if there's any more questions on the Kitsune, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them. Okay, no more questions. I'm going to move on to the Hyena, what I personally find to be the most useful in frigate fleets. Gotta import this sucker. Okay, I didn't save it. One sec. Okay, importing now. I say this is the most useful to light frigate fleets. The reason why I say that is because it's kind of uncontested in what it does. It gets that bonus 2 Weber range, and you can't really argue that something else gets the same, especially when you're talking about a frigate fleet only. And those Webers are useful in stopping people from getting back to gates, people from burning out at ranges, stuff like that. You shut down, you can slow down vagabonds, lots of things that can be useful for. So that's why it's kind of uncontested. There's no other ship but the Rapier and Huggin that get the ranges to Weber range unless you're going faction. I don't even think any of the faction get a range, they just get an effectiveness bonus. So that's why the Hyena comes in really nice. It stays out of their scram and web range and can web them. So you're essentially shutting people down from afar, which adds to your survivability. Okay, Code. Thanks for coming. But with this one, the first thing I went for was the Webers, a micro warp drive and warp disruptor. Hit the mid slots pretty heavily, took care of that. It's very fast. I wanted to keep it up. It gets the bonus to the micro warp drive cap usage. It just get bonus sig radius, so you don't have to worry about that as much. You've got that benefit going for you. You also have, and it's already got a really low signature radius, so you're just adding that much more to its smallness. The two Webers, simply because you want to get those going, and third kind of gets too much of a stacking penalty, I feel. You could fit a third instead of the warp disruptor, or you could go with a target painter instead of the warp disruptor, and it would be useful. I just prefer to have backup tackle on nearly everything in a frigate fleet. The exceptions to that, as you can see with the Kitsune from earlier, but with something so close and the ability to pull out with its warp disruptor and have backup tackle when it's so close would be, I find, very useful. After that, I went to the lows. I put a damage control, some survivability. By the way, you could also drop the warp disruptor for a shield extender. I know somebody has been asking about shield extenders on these fits, and that would definitely add to its survivability and be very useful. The goal, though, is that you have an ECM ship jamming someone or sensor damps or something shutting them down besides just you so that you won't be primaried. And you are a Hyena, not very oftenly flown, which means people are less likely to primary. People are going to primary ECM first. People are going to primary other things first. So you have this lucky thing that you kind of sneak by on who is more important to kill, and you tend to be a little bit lower on the list. So after the hyena, or after the mid slots of mine, remember mine, it's a personal choice here. You can of course swap them. And the damage, I went to the low, did the damage control, and then I went for speed. The thing survives on slowing other people down and being fast. Increasing your speed increases your survivability simply because you can web them and run. And you can almost outrun anything with the dual web on them. So it keeps you way ahead of the curve on survivability. Especially if somebody ECMs them, you web them, y'all blitz. And then you're the last one to run because you've got them webbed so far behind you. And that really keeps y'all ahead of the curve, out of the threat zone, I guess is the way to put it. So after those, I then went to the highs. At the highs, I just put the biggest guns I could fit. Biggest guns and missile launchers that could hit at about 20 kilometers. I tried playing with the autocannons because sometimes you can get the autocannons with their barrage ammo to hit decently far. But I wasn't able to make that work like I wanted to on the Hyena, so I went straight for Arties. And it keeps me in a decent range that I want to be at. And then the missile launcher is just to be a missile launcher. The high slots are really not important. Really, it works with a frigate fleet. Frigate fleets work as a team, and your E-War is rarely your DPS. Your DPS comes from assault frigates or interceptors. And after that, I think I've covered all four. Are there any questions? I know some people have been asking about various fits. There's lots of various fits, and I do know quite a few of them if you've got questions on that. You know, and it really just kind of comes down to personal opinion sometimes, but, eh. Yes, I can. To be honest, I think the Karis was my least favorite of them, mainly because when I've grown into them now, I really only use them for anti-stealth bombers. You know, which is kind of replaced by Panic Zealots, but it works in a fleet, I guess. By the way, one thing I will say about these ships that I think all of y'all should know is they are fun to fly, and they're really good practice for their upper-level recons, because they do get all the bonuses, just slight range reductions usually, or slight small reductions in them, but they very, very much mimic their larger counterpart. So they're great. Not practice for the same thing, but to get a feel of how you'll operate, they're a great way to get used to that. And they're fun, they're fast, they're small, and they blow up a lot, which means they're extreme. Okay, well, I guess that's everything. If there's no more questions, I'll just kind of hang around in the class channel for a little bit. I don't think there's a class afterwards. And I will just hang out here, I guess. And y'all can ask questions if you want class uni or ask on here on comms now that I'm not really blabbing the entire time. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions or any problems you have with my fits, of course. I know some people will have issues with how they're fit or how they're working. Oh, yeah, you can ask about a Blackbird fitting. Cheap, effective ECM. What do you want to know about it? My only improvement I could say, and I guess this is kind of debatable, but I would say it really isn't, is a propulsion mod. You have no propulsion mods, which means you're slow, which means people can get within range of you, means they can throw drones on you. Even if you're 50 kilometers out, they'll, you know, we'll go 60 because some people have the skills, 60, 70 kilometers out, they can micro warp drive, throw their drones on you. You can't burn. If you jump through a gate into a bubble, you can't burn back to gate. You can't burn out of the bubble. You're really, really slow. Yes, I can give you my rapier fitting, which I really like. This came from we'll get to the rapier fitting in just a second. Let me finish off the Blackbird. I would get rid of it instead of the target. It's a sensor booster. I'd get rid of this instead of the sensor booster. They are E-War. They get all of the E-War bonuses, but you tend to use them for what they can do effectively. You know, it's like, what is it? The Marauders get a bonus to Weber strength. Like, woohoo, that's great, but whoever uses a Marauder in PvP and expects to live, you know, you're going to get primaried, you don't have exceptional resist or tank, you die a lot. So your Weber range doesn't come into effectiveness that often. Like, sure, you can use it for missions or something like that, I guess, to help your railguns hit. But still, it's just kind of, it's a bad bonus to the ship. Or you have a bad layout to use that bonus. So It's really, some of the e-wars, target painters. Target painters, I can argue 50 or so different reasons why I would never ever fit a target painter, except on like one certain fit, because Webers do a way better job of what a target painter should. Actually, Panthera probably does, simply because of that web bonus that, although you're kind of getting to the risky point of, in a larger cruiser fleet, sure, they'll primary other things, but when they start primarying you, they'll kill you. They're really nice in the frigate fleets, and they would be useful in the larger fleets, so long as you know you've got numerical advantage or ECM or something working in your favor. But you've got to be very careful that one, because you do pop very quickly. If you did work in a larger fleet, you'd probably want to drop your low slots for more tank. I know it seems kind of silly, or put shield extenders or something on it to increase your survivability. Okay, let me get my rapier fitting that I kind of like. The Ksuna explodes a lot. Go with, if you're in a larger fleet, go with Blackbirds. They're cheap. They're effective. They do the job. In fact, right after the ECM Falcon, really the Falcon nerf, when they did it, it was just like people switched from Falcons to Blackbirds. Some people still fly Falcons. They still have their place, their uses, but Blackbirds are really good for cheap, effective ECM. There's my Rapier setup. The Blackbird is cheaper. It reimburses. You get your money back when a Blackbird blows up. You do not get your money back when a Kitsune dies. You lose every last penny. You get like half a million back until they revamp insurance, and you've got to see how much they're going to revamp it. The Blackbird still outdoes it there. And the ability to fit a lot more ECM mods makes it a better ECM boat. It can also fit a semi-tank. It can fit survivability on it, things like that. I don't care about killboard. I care about, I don't know, I've never really cared about killboard at all. Just how effective a ship works, I guess. And I'm a big fan of cost effectiveness. If you're going to look at the killboard, you might as well look at Ice Destroyed versus Ice Lost. And then you can always look at T1 ships that you really didn't destroy much because they just reimburse. But by the way, that's my rapier fit. I really like this fit. It works very well in fleets from everything I've ever seen. And this tends to be solid fit. It's got some DPS to it. You're looking at a decent shield tank. You've got your dual Webers, you've got a warp disruptor, you've got really fast, pretty much what you want in a rapier. It can also semi-solo. You can just use an extra DPS person with you, and that thing can probably solo some people. It shouldn't have a web disruptor or a web one. It's got a Meta 4 Weber, which is essentially the Tech 2 Stasis Web of Fire, except the only difference is it uses less CPU and a little less cap, I believe. Yeah, it uses two-thirds the cap, and it also uses, let me look at the CPU, it uses 8 less CPU. Yeah, you've got to look at that. A lot of the Meta 4 stuff is just as good. That's why a lot of people use Meta 4 ECM. It's just as good as the Tech 2. It's about the same price on the market, and it uses a lot less capacitor. And they usually have less CPU requirements. Any other questions? Anything anybody wants to ask? I'll answer random questions, I guess, at this point, because we're already on rapiers and blackbirds. Oh, might as well say this, because this happened to me recently, and it makes me very sad that it did. Don't ever fit ECM bursts in a fleet as a an ECM ship. Ever. In fact, as any ship. If you're in a fleet and they don't specifically say everybody fit up an ECM burst, don't do it. Yeah, well, it's good to get out. That's a solo thing, just to get out of a tight spot. But yeah, I had somebody in one of my fleets. We jumped. We were attempted to engage a fleet, a couple people smaller. They brought in reinforcements, and we figured we would engage them and have fun. Go for duking it out, whatever. We had Logi, they had Logi. We had ECM, they had less ECM. So that's where we felt we had the advantage. And one of our Scorpions decided to hit ECM burst and jammed my entire fleet. Yeah, it was not a happy situation. We were kind of angry. We got a lot less kills than we wanted to, and everybody was like, "Why am I not locking? Why can't I lock anymore?" I know I got jammed 4 times throughout the engagement. So I'd get a lock, get like 2 volleys off, get jammed again. So, on that note, ECM bursts are terrible for fleets. Fleets. Bad. Maybe okay on a minor fleet, I guess. By the way, if you ever are a spy and want to screw up your fleets, one of your fleets, fit an ECM burst. It will work. Well, I actually, the one fit where I really wanted to do ECM burst is I wanted to get a fleet of scorpions, load them up with like a half shield tank and a bunch of ECCMs, and just warp in on the enemy with torps, and just go at it and see what happens. But I'm pretty sure we would die in a fit of flames and glory or something like that. But you know, I always thought that would be kind of funny. It shows up on the kill mail. I'm not sure about the combat log. I wasn't really looking. I didn't realize we were being ECM bursted until when I looked at my lost mail and saw one of my own guys on the kill. Anytime. Sorry, it was kind of ditzy at the beginning. I don't know why. I just kind of out of it. No, because they'll just burst each other. The problem with ECM bursts is that they affect everyone. So you're jamming everyone around you, which means you're jamming your own people. Like, sure, you jam drones as well, but yeah. They then get aggression to you. Yeah, but you're talking about fitting a lot of things on a really tight fit. Stealth bombers have no room to play, ever. Fact, if you don't have, like, perfect skills, usually you have to offline the bomb launcher until you use it. Anyways, well, thanks for coming, guys. Hope y'all enjoyed. And I'll try to run class next week.